We don't normally do announcements from stage, but we don't have a bulletin this morning, so I did want you to be aware of one thing. There is a benefit lunch that the Road Dogs here? All right, I can always count on them to to bark and whine and all that stuff. It's for a needy family in Tavares, and it's going to be at the Dern Smoker. The Darn Smoker up the road, directly after service, so you can buy tickets and eat lunch and things like that. If you already have plans, that's totally wrong of you. No, I'm kidding. That's understandable, but if you don't have plans and you'd like to do that, please feel free to do so. Okay, so I'm going to flash something at you. I know you got scared there for a minute on the screen. Okay. Did you see that? Those are circles of discipleship. Who can name them? Get known. Get others. Get going. Get life. Get connected. Did we name all five? I think so. Man, you guys are good. Awesome. This is what is very important to us at the church at Whistling Pines. By the way, my name is Sean McCracken. I'm one of the pastors here. I am the lead team pastor, and we are really passionate about these five circles because this is how you are in the center. That's you. And this is our way of bringing you into our body and also encouraging you in the Lord. And so these five different ways we try to showcase every week so that you get to understand it a little bit better. If this is your first time with us, we are so pumped that you're with us. Hopefully you filled out a guest registration card when you walked in. If you didn't, if you could see somebody with the care team tag around their neck and grab one. It's the only way you get something free in the mail. That's all I'm saying. So if you'd like that, and we would really like to have record of your attendance so that we just know who you are and perhaps even why you came. So we are glad that you're here. I'm also equally glad that those of you who have been coming are continuing to come back. That's always a good sign. Thank you for that. So I want to showcase Get Life this morning. It particularly refers to our life groups. Our life groups is how we do church. When we come together on Sunday mornings for our worship service, that's generally the most attended thing that we have during the week, and therefore it's very important, and it's amazing that we can come together corporately. But as far as how we do the life of church, how we become the body of Christ, how we minister to one another, how we relate to one another and have relationships, it really happens through our life groups. But also stepping into community is more than just our life groups. It's more than just during the 3-minute break, you know, hugging somebody and giving them a high five, things like that. I also want to talk this morning about another way that we step into community, and that's through prayer. That God designed prayer to be personal between us and God in our prayer closets, in our cars, wherever it might be. But he also created prayer to be a corporate thing, to be something that we do in community, and that when we pray with one another, we are like-minded and we're joined, touching one thing here on earth. And God hears us, and God promises to be with us where two or three are gathered in his name. So this morning, I want to talk about that. We're continuing our series in the book of Acts, Acts of the Sent Ones. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to talk about constantly in prayer. I want you to be real truthful while you're turning. So while you're turning with one hand, I want you to lift the other hand, if you're able to do that. And with your third hand, hold on to your Bible. How many people feel like you are constantly in prayer? Raise your hand. Wow. Praise God. Good. Well, then I'm going to step aside and have you guys come up here and teach us. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I want to read just three short verses, verses 12 through 15. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. This is right after Jesus' ascension. Pastor Scott taught that last week and talked about that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so that's what's going on right now, is all of these disciples are waiting in Jerusalem until the gift of the Holy Spirit comes. And it says, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Many people believe this upper room where all of this amazing stuff happens, particularly in chapter 2, which we'll get to in a few weeks. Many believe that it's probably the same room that Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. Obviously Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, is not there. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Does that grip your heart? Does that stick out to you? If you are a underliner in your Bible, go ahead and do that. Just underline that sentence in verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. So we have this picture of the early church meeting, gathering together. This is right after they were staring into heaven and the angels told them, stop staring into heaven. Jesus, who just left you, is going to return in the same way. There's this promise of the second coming of Jesus. They gather together and they're told to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So as they're waiting, they're constantly in prayer. Constantly in prayer. I want to talk a little bit about prayer in the book of Acts. Do you realize that in the Gospels, it mentions prayer? Did you know that? Jesus mentions prayer. The different authors of the Gospels mention prayer. The most times it's mentioned in the Gospels is actually Luke's Gospel, the same guy who wrote the book of Acts. 12 times it's mentioned in Luke, prayer of some sort. In the book of Acts, it's mentioned 31 times. And it is mentioned in 20 of its 28 chapters. So prayer is a paramount subject within the early church. It is something that they constantly did. If they constantly are doing it, wouldn't you think it's mentioned a lot? So this should raise our awareness of just how important prayer is in the book of Acts. The reason we are going verse by verse through the book of Acts is because we want what they got. Amen? We want what they got. We want the power of the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives, to be manifested when we're walking down the street. You know, we see Peter's shadow actually healing people. We see that Paul has a handkerchief and he sends it to people and they're healed. Or was that Peter as well? Somebody help me. It was Paul. Okay, I was good. So we want this stuff too. But sometimes it's easy to overlook that prayer was a vital part of that. So prayer in the book of Acts, it was always an expression of their complete dependence on God. When they prayed, you always got the sense that they're not turning anywhere else. You get the sense that they can't turn anywhere else, but you also get the sense that they're not turning anywhere else. Complete dependence on God was their life of prayer in the early church. There was often an urgent need or a need for deliverance of some sort. They were constantly being persecuted, put in jail, being threatened, those kind of things. There was sickness involved and there was urgent needs that they would lift up to the Lord. But more often than that, the primary purpose was to bring their lives in harmony with God's perfect will, not just their own comfort and convenience. When you look through the whole book of Acts, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Robert gave an introduction and he challenged us as the church to read through the book of Acts every month. There's 28 chapters. If you read a chapter every day, you're good and you have a couple days off because there's usually 30 to 31 days in a month. As you read through the book of Acts continually, I really pray that you would listen to that. It's not too much to read. That we'd be saturated with Acts. And as we're reading, just make mental note or even underline when it mentions prayer, when it's talking about prayer, and see the results that the early church received with prayer. It's amazing. And you'll notice that it was never about comfort or convenience. It was either urgent or it was God. Line us up with your will. They continually were in his presence. I want to tell you a story. There was a CEO of a major corporation who was getting up there in years. And he knew that he needed to pass the baton, if you will. He needed to make sure somebody else took over the business, took over the corporation. And he had lots of choices. He had many officers that were under him. But they too were getting up in age. And what he decided to do was join all of the young executives to ask them all to come into his office. So a handful of them, maybe 12, 15 young executives of this corporation come into his office. And he tells them, I'm getting up there in years. I realize that I need to have a successor. And I need to turn this business over to you. Much like we see Jesus doing before he returned to heaven. He gave over the mantle. He gave over. He was endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he said, we would too. And so he spoke to the disciples and said, what I do, you're going to do greater things. So likewise, this CEO says this to them. He hands each one of them a seed. He gives them a seed, and he says, this is what I'm going to do. In a year's time, go ahead and mark it on your calendars. Exactly a year from today, I want you to come back in my office with your seed. I want you to plant it. I want you to water it. I want you to nurture it. I want you to take care of it. I want you to trim it, whatever you need to do. And the person that comes back with the plant that I like the best, I will make you CEO. So they're like, wow, this is kind of weird, but it's a little bit exciting too. Jim was one of the guys who received the seed. He came home and he was excited and he spoke with his wife. He told her, man, this is an incredible opportunity. There's other people that are a little more educated than me. They have a little bit more experience, but this kind of evens the playing field. So I'm going to do the best job that I can to grow up this seed. So he's excited. His wife helps him. They pick out this amazing looking pot. It's kind of flashy, but yet it's going to get the job done. They get soil. They get compost. This is where I start getting a little over my pay grade. I'm not much of a planter, so anyway, and he sows the seed and he plants it into the soil and he's watering it and he's looking at it. Have you ever looked at seeds just expecting them to grow and they just don't grow right away? Sort of like watching a pot of water to see if it'll boil. It never boils. Well, this is what was going on. So every day he'd come home and he'd look at it and he'd say, "Is that? No, that's nothing. I guess nothing." Days and days and days, weeks. 3 weeks go by. 3 weeks go by and still nothing. He said, surely something should be happening, but, you know, maybe not yet. 4 weeks go by and he's at the office and he starts hearing the other executives talking about, I see sprouts. I see that things are starting to come up and they're excited and they're almost bragging. Mine's going to be the best. And Jim's kind of in the corner and he walks away because he doesn't want anybody to ask him about his because so far nothing. 3 months go by, still nothing. He's faithful to water it and to fertilize it. And he's praying, oh God, please, I want this to grow. 3 months go by. 4 months go by. Everybody in the office is talking about how beautiful theirs are. How tall theirs is getting. How thick the leaves and the stem is and things like that on their various plants and flowers. 6 months. 9 months go by, nothing. He realizes 3 more months and he's going to have to show an empty pot. He's devastated. He feels sick to his stomach. 1 year goes by. The night before, he says to his wife, there is no way I'm bringing this empty pot in to show the boss. I'll be humiliated. It's bad enough that I've had to deal with this for a year, but I don't want the other executives to see me. I'm just going to stay home. His wife encourages him, like good wives do, and said, no, you need to be honest. You need to go in there and just let him know about it. And, you know, you may not get the job, but at least you're honest about it. So he goes in there. He says, you're right. The next morning, you know, he's just sick to his stomach. He can't eat. He's devastated. He's so nervous, so scared about what other people are going to think of him and say about him. He doesn't want them to laugh at him. So he comes and he kind of sits in the back of the room and they're all waiting for the CEO to come in and he's in the back so that he wouldn't be noticed and some of the other executives are looking over at his and he can hear some snickering and he can see some with a genuine compassion on their face like, oh, poor guy, this has got to be horrible for him. But nobody would like really look at him in the eyes. The CEO walks in and he's like, wow, look at all of the amazing plants, flowers and man, that one looks like a tree. Good job. Today I'm going to name the new chief executive officer of this business. And everybody claps except for Jim. He happens to notice Jim in the back. And he asks his financial advisor to bring Jim forward. Bring Jim forward. So Jim comes up very sheepishly and he's got his pot and he's kind of looking down and he doesn't know what to expect. So he asks him, well, why didn't you bring a plant in? And Jim's honest. He said, listen, I've watered it every day, taken care of it. I've put it in the sunlight. I've read books about it. I've done everything that I know how to do to get this seed to grow. But nothing's happened. But I felt like you deserved honesty, so that's what I brought in. And he looks over everyone else and he says, 1 year ago today, I handed everyone a seed. And I asked you to plant it and to water it and to take care of it. And I asked you to bring it back. And the plant that I felt was best, that's who would be the CEO. And he said, 1 year ago today, I gave everyone a boiled seed. There was no way that your seeds would grow anything. They were all dead. So that means all of you substituted your seeds when you saw that they weren't growing, all except for Jim. Meet your new CEO. And so Jim got the job. There's all kinds of lessons we can get from that, right? If you sow honesty, you'll reap trust. God promotes those who do things the right way. All these amazing things. What I want to pull out of this morning is that the church has done this very thing. And when I say the church, I mean this church, but I also mean the body of Christ. What we've done is we've realized that prayer is not growing in our lives. It's not growing in our church. It's not growing in our families. And so what we do is we pull it out and substitute it with something else. We substitute it with going to the doctor. We substitute it with going to a trusted advisor, going to a counselor, going to a pastor, going to the miracle guy, going wherever else. We've substituted prayer and we've seen other things grow and we've been satisfied with that growth. And at the same time, we're going, God, we want the book of Acts in our lives. God, I want to be healed. God, I want the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life and in the life of my church. And we've substituted prayer. I've substituted prayer. We've substituted it instead of digging it up and finding out why is it dead. And asking God to give us a new seed, to give us new life. In the book of Acts, they were all about prayer. I want to show you some examples. While praying, the Holy Spirit fell upon individuals or groups. It happened all the time in the book of Acts. And what's interesting, I have some scripture verses down here. First of all, chapter 2, that's the day of Pentecost. It's on the tail end of this verse that we read this morning, verse 14. They constantly were in prayer. They were in prayer in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Chapter 4, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 19. All of these are cases of people praying and the Holy Spirit responding with baptism. There's only one in here where they actually prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every other time it was God answering by their obedience to stay in prayer. In selecting leaders, they certainly looked at qualifications, but they went to the Lord every time. First example, 1:24, we're going to be getting to next week, and that's Matthias being chosen to be the 12th disciple to take Judas Iscariot's place. They looked at qualifications, but they sought the Lord. Many times we seek the Lord as an afterthought. Or we say, God, please put a seal of approval on our decision. Chapter 6, verse 6, they're praying. The widows are not being distributed to the Greek-speaking widows. And so they pray and God says, appoint 7 men full of the Holy Spirit that can do the work. Chapter 13, verse 3, they're ministering to the Lord. They're worshiping and praying and fasting. And the Lord says, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them. For boldness. Chapter 4, if you remember, Peter and John were going to prayer. And it says during the hour of prayer, it was a regimen for them. We don't like to hear that. We think, whoa, 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 we're under grace. You can't tell me that I have to pray. You're right, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you, you don't have to get the benefits of it either. They were going to the hour of prayer, going to the temple, and they walk by the lame man and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And so they're arrested, and then they go back to the disciples and tell them, this is what they said. They said, we've got to stop talking. And instead of stopping talking, what their prayer was, as a congregation, they lifted up and said, Lord, give us boldness. And it says the room was shaken. And the Holy Spirit descended upon them and answered their prayer, and they had supernatural boldness. We see all kinds of prayers for sinners to repent in the book of Acts. We see it during crisis. Chapter 7, verse 59 is Stephen being stoned. In the middle of being stoned, he prays a prayer very similar to Jesus. Why does he pray a prayer similar to Jesus? Because he's constantly in prayer. He knows the will of the Father. He knows God's heart because he's constantly communing with him. He's able to, while being stoned, pray a very similar prayer to what Jesus prayed on the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they do, basically. Chapter 12, is that when Paul is in prison? One of these is when Paul's in prison. Paul and Silas are in prison. And they're praying in the midnight hour, and they're singing and worshiping. It's in the middle of crisis that they're praying. They're not panicking. They're not trying to plant something else. They're not trying to substitute anything else in their life. Prayer works, and they're engaged in it. Physical safety. When the boat that Paul is on right before it's shipwrecked, before they get to Rome, they're praying for sunlight to come. Have you ever prayed, please, Lord, let the next day happen? That's what was happening here. Prayed for healing. Multiple times, here's just two examples. Praying for healing for somebody. Chapter 9, verse 40 is when Peter prays and a dead woman named Dorcas, or Tabitha, is raised from the dead. That's powerful praying. God answers prayers. 28:8 is when they're shipwrecked and Paul prays for the chief of the island Malta that they landed on for his father who's sick in bed. And then Thanksgiving. They're thanking God for the food that they're about to eat. All throughout the book of Acts is prayer. They didn't substitute something else. Let's read our verse 14 again. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. 120-some individuals in an upper room, and they're constantly praying. They all joined together. We tend to think of prayer as a very personal thing. And as I said earlier, it is. It certainly is. We need to have a personal prayer life. Just as we are personally saved, we have a personal relationship with Jesus. But what we don't realize is our culture is completely different than the culture of the Bible. The culture of the Bible is they did everything together. Though they had a personal relationship with Jesus, it was not separated from the relationship that Dana has with God, that Miranda has with God, that John has with God. All of us were together and we're all going towards Christ together. And we've missed it. There's power to corporate prayer. My grandfather, right before he died, my dad was always concerned that he didn't know Jesus. Just didn't know Jesus. And I said to my dad, well, why don't you ask him? And he's like, I'm kind of afraid to know the answer. So I said, okay, well, I'll ask him. I definitely want to know too. So I asked my grandfather, do you know who Jesus is? Yes. Do you have a relationship with him? Yes. So I asked him some qualifying questions like, are you sure? Because your son, my dad, is convinced that you don't. And he tells me this. It's a personal thing with me. I'm not supposed to tell anybody else. He came from a generation where your walk with Christ was a personal thing. That's wrong. according to the book of Acts, according to Scripture, it's a corporate thing. And there's power in togetherness. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. That's the promise. Is he there with you in your prayer closet? Absolutely, but he doesn't promise that. He promises where two or three are gathered, there's power. I want to talk about constantly in prayer. What does that mean? How can you constantly be in prayer and yet still speak to somebody? Still drive your car? Still take a shower? Still pluck your nose hairs? I don't know why that came to mind. Do the things you have to do while constantly being in prayer. How can that be? Paul says in one of his epistles, to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? I think we need to look at the word constantly. What does it mean? And it really takes, it has two meanings. The first one has to do with time. Constant. If you're constantly bugging somebody, that means you're doing it on a repetitive basis. You're constantly bugging them. You will not leave them alone. If you're constantly asking for something, any parents here ever been constantly asked by your child to do something, to get money, to whatever it is? It's about consistency. It's about continually doing that. It was a part of their lives. Don't miss this. It was part of their lives. That's what we've substituted in the life of the church. Remember the analogy, the story of the plants and the seeds and how they noticed it wasn't growing, so they substituted it with something that would grow, something that was easier to grow. We've done that in our personal lives and in the life of the church. It was a part of their lives. It was what they did. They didn't know anything differently. And partly because they saw results. It was a spiritual discipline. We don't like to hear the word discipline. And certainly when we tag it with spiritual. God doesn't want me to have a certain hours of the day mapped out. He just wants me to pray to Him whenever He wants to. Both and, not either or. Both and. Peter gives us a perfect example. I already mentioned chapter 3, verse 1. He and John are walking to the temple at the hour of prayer, it says, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's another time where it says, at noon, he goes up on the roof to pray. Why does Luke, when he writes the book of Acts, give us the exact time? I believe because it was regimented in Peter's life. And we want to kind of back away from that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, see, if you start regimenting things, if you start scheduling things, then it can just be dogmatic, and it can just turn into lifeless. What's the word I'm looking for? The law. It's really the law. It's just how can it not turn into that? The disciples seem to be able to do both. They were able to have times where it set aside that was the hour of prayer. That was the time that they got together to pray. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which was eating together, but also the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. This wasn't just a list of some of the things that they did in their services. They were devoted to it. Devoted. The other instance of this word constantly means resolute, willful, or persistent. Continuing to pray. We get the sense of prevailing prayer or even travailing prayer. Continuing to pray. Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. The parable was the unjust judge. If you remember, the unjust judge, it says, didn't have anything to do with God, didn't have anything to do with man. He could care less. He was an unjust judge. But a widow who was very persistent kept coming to him and saying, I need justice. I need justice. I need justice. I need justice. We don't even know the issue. We just know she kept coming to him. Finally, he got fed up, felt like he was going to get beat to death by her if he doesn't give in, and he gives in and gives her justice. And Jesus said, did you see that unjust judge? How much more does the just judge, God, want to answer your prayers? And we look at this and we say, well, what does that mean? Why can't God just answer our prayer when we first ask? Why do we have to travail? Why do we have to prevail? Why do we have to press in and keep praying and not giving up? Is it a game with God? What's his deal? It's very me-centered, everything I said. Very me-centered. Number one, we don't completely know the will of God. And as we pray, we get to understand it and get to discern it. And most importantly is this. He wants us to keep praying because we'll know his heart and we'll actually be ready for the answer. Church, sometimes the answer is no. God wants us to be ready for that. And so when it says they all joined together, it was in unity, it was corporate, and they were constantly in prayer. It meant time-wise, they were just constantly praying. And it also means they were pressing in. They were seeking the face of God. They were trying to get out all distractions. They were trying to get out all other thoughts. They were prevailing. They were praying until they got the answer. There's a story of a gentleman named George Mueller, not this one, but another one from the 1800s, who prayed for five individuals to be saved. Five individuals. He prayed every day. His biographer says he prayed every single day, rain or shine, whether he was in country or out of country, on the sea or on land. He prayed every single day without fail for them. It took 36 months for the first convert, for the first of the five, to be saved. 5 years later, the second one came to know the Lord. 6 years later, after that one, so 11 years in all, the third one came to know the Lord. 36 more years, he was praying for the other two. 36 years, every single day, praying for these two individuals. Was it worth it? Those two individuals, right before he died, one of them came to know the Lord. Right after he died, the other one did. Was it worth it? It's prevailing. It's continuing. It's staying the course. That's what he's called us to do. Guys, I've heard so many sermons that beat you over the head about prayer, and I feel low, and it's like, oh, why can't I do it? Why can't I do it? Listen, I'm in the same boat as you, but I'm also in the same boat as you, that I have somehow replaced that seed of prayer in my life with something that is easier to grow. And I'm not getting the results that I wanted. Are you? They had consistent and planned prayer times. This is the takeaways, guys. They had consistent and planned prayer times. You need to do that too. Now, do you fall under condemnation if somehow you miss one of those times? No. That's when it becomes legalistic. That was the word I was looking for earlier. That's when it becomes legalistic, when it weighs you down. I think the best way to know when it's legalism, when we're just sticking to something just to do it, just to feel good or whatever, is legalism will always cause you to stop. In other words, if Dana comes to me and says, hey, listen, I've got something going on at my job. Will you pray for me? And I'm like, well, I'm not actually praying until 2 o'clock this afternoon. So yeah, I'll pray for you at 2. That's legalism. Because it stopped me from praying with him right now. But discipline is not legalism. Discipline causes you to be mindful of what you should do. They also had spontaneous prayer. It wasn't either or, it was both and. They prayed for Dana right away. When Peter was put in jail, it says in chapter 12 that all of the church got together and kept praying for him. In fact, when he finally is released by an angel of the Lord, he's knocking on the door and they're so busy praying for him, they wouldn't let him in. They prayed for and over each other. The book of Acts is all about body ministry, and prayer cannot be divorced from it. do not substitute something you read or go to this person or that person for prayer. Don't do it. Use those things in concert with prayer. Absolutely. Please do. But don't substitute it. Their prayers were God-centered and others-centered. I want to ask you a question. This is just, you answer it inside of you. What are your prayers like? Are they God-centered and other-centered, or are they you-centered? Are you constantly just praying about yourself? The things you have to go through? The things that you have to do tomorrow? You have to do today? Are you really seeking the will of God and really praying for other people? He wants us to pray for ourselves, but there's ample examples in the book of Acts of praying for others and just praying for God's will, period. You may not be going through something at work. Still pray for God's will in your life. How do you get here? You guys ever heard of the three D's? First one is desire. Do you guys desire this? Do you desire that seed of prayer in your life, that it would actually grow, that it wouldn't be dead, that you wouldn't be replacing it with something else? Do you desire that? I desire that. I want the results of the book of Acts. And if I want the results of the book of Acts, if that's what I want to grow in my life, then I need to plant the right seed. So I desire this. Desire it. Is it enough to desire something? No. I can want something all day long and it doesn't mean I'm going to get it. Just because I want it. I want to be a better husband. Oh man, I wish I was a better husband. But if I'm not doing anything to become that better husband, it's just words. And it frustrates you. That's when you go and grab another seed, yank that one out of the pot and put this one in instead and say, well, maybe this one will work. How did I do that? So you have to desire it. But you have to add to desire discipline. You have to discipline yourself. And we tend to, in the New Testament church, look at discipline as, Jesus has freed us from that. Well, you're going too far there, preacher. I don't know. Really? Discipline? God really cares that much about our prayer life? Yes. Yes, he does. Let me ask you something. If you have a meeting for work, do you need to put that on your calendar? Yes. Why? You'll forget. You'll overbook yourself. You'll whatever. Fill in the blank. Does God want to have a meeting with you? Yes. Put it on your calendar. Otherwise, you'll overbook or you'll forget. But then delight comes. We shouldn't stay at the discipline. We shouldn't have this whip behind us going, whoopsh, come on, keep doing it. Whoopsh. After a while, we delight in it. And some days more than others. We just love being in God's presence. But the reality is, before we can delight, we actually have to discipline ourselves because we've planted too many other seeds. There's too many other things we've looked to other than prayer. We've got to get used to prayer. We've got to nourish it. We've got to water it. We've got to fertilize it. That's the discipline. The delight is going, wow, look at this plant. Look at the fruit in my life. Look at the fruit in the people that I work with. Look at the fruit in the people that I live with. Prayer does work. I want everyone to rise to your feet, and we're going to do something different this morning. Do you trust me? Okay. In my mind's eye, I saw that this worked. Let's see if it actually works in the physical realm. Starting right here and going all around, I want us to make a huge circle holding hands. We're going to pray corporately together. And go. Yay. Oh, I wanted to hold on. Come on, girl.
So how many people we have?
Stretch all the way around. Full circle. No breaks. No breaks. Those of you behind the black things, what do you call them? The dividers, the partitions. I am so sorry. but isn't this cool, guys? This is the church. This is the church. And prayer does in the spiritual realm what we are doing in the physical realm. It joins us together. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass around the microphone. And you might be thinking, oh my Lord, I'm never going to get home to my pot roast. I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you would like to pray a short prayer in the microphone congregationally, I'd like for you to do that. If not, just pass the mic to the next person. Make sense? When he comes back to me, I'll close us and we'll have one more worship song. Sound good? Or Father, this will God, go quicker than we thought.
Father God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this place, Lord, that, Lord, we can open up, Lord, that this is your house and we can just open up and just be one big family, Lord. We just thank you for your constant blessings over all of our lives. Lord, just constantly protect us, Lord. Just give us a hedge of protection around all of us, Lord. And just know, Lord, that we're in a safe place, Lord, that it's okay to be yourself, Lord. And we just thank you for everything that you provide in our lives. Lord, just give us, just allow us to just be open to anything, Lord, that you have to say, and Lord, that just can just be poured out of our hearts, Lord, that we can pour out back into others. And Lord, just give us just a safety net, Lord, that we can just feel. Testing. Lord, just we just thank you for all this, Lord, and we just bless you, and we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Father, I just thank you for unity, just a unified spirit, and Father, a unified body. And Lord, I just thank you for the individuality. I thank you that we have individual personalities. And Father, we come together and we become unified, and we can just touch more lives with your heart. And that we don't have to be anybody else. We can be ourselves. You went to great lengths to give us all different fingerprints. And Lord, our fingerprints to touch our community, our individual fingerprints to touch our community, but yet be together and be unified as a body. And Lord, I thank you that this church is a lighthouse. I thank you, Father.
Lord, I thank you for blessings that might not feel so much like blessings at the time, when you are able to make us grow and show us your will by telling us no or giving us things that we think are too difficult at the time. And if there's anyone in this group that feels like they are facing something they just can't handle, that they will turn to you to feel your hand on them and know your plan for them, and that you love every one of us.
Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for being with each and every one of us. Help us to help others know of your love.
Dear Heavenly Father, I would like to pray for strength and healing. I would like to thank you for the Ruth House and all the wonderful ladies in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God, we just thank you for the love in this place. It's overwhelming, and it's definitely flowing all around us. And God, we just pray that we all just take in the message today, and we just grow closer with each other and closer more with you, God. We want an intimate more relationship with you, one-on-one. And God, we know great things are coming. God, we just got to be prepared and ready. And God, we just love you and we thank you.
Lord, I just pray that we can all have the desire, the discipline, and delight. I think there's nothing more important than if we can lead those people who don't know the Lord. And I think the greatest thing we can do is bring one of them in. And because the angels in heaven will be singing for each one of us. Thank you.
Father, I want to thank you so very much for leading me to inner healing, and relying on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Counselor that is in me. And I know that through constant prayer, you bring me to a place of repentance that gives me freedom to be the person that I am for your good and for your glory, and to rely on that counselor deep within to help me through each and every day to be a person for you, God, through raising my kids, for being the wife. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that inner healing to be, to come to this place and have joy and freedom and to love on other people. God, you know my heart so very deep. You have penetrated my heart so very deep. And I just want to thank you, Father. Thank you very much. I want to pray a blessing over everybody in this room.
Father, thank you today that we are your people. We are called by your name. We are humbling ourselves and praying. We're turning from our wicked ways. We're seeking your face, Father. I thank you, Father, that right now you're blessing us, Father, with your Holy Spirit, your anointing in this place right now, Father, touching all hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Father, and honor you. Thank you, Father, that as we're doing all these things for you, Lord, you are hearing from heaven. You are forgiving our sins. You are cleansing us from all unrighteousness and healing all that needs to be healed in us, in our families, in our communities, Lord. We seek you first. Your righteousness, your kingdom, and everything, Father, that we desire comes after that. We acknowledge you in all our ways. We thank you that you're directing our paths, Father. Thank you for your loving spirit in this place. We thank you, Father, that your light shines through us, that those who are lost will see it and will be drawn to it, Father. Thank you that we'll lead others to you before it's too late. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen.
Heavenly Father, I just want to ask you to fill each of our hearts with your love today so that wherever we may go, your overflowing love just pours out of us so that we can just be a witness everywhere we go to everybody that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Dear Lord, I thank you for bringing me here today, for picking me up, looking after my kids, and bringing me to a wonderful man named George when I thought I didn't have anything, and having such a good church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Make us your hands and your feet and your voice right here where we live.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here in this room. We all can feel you. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for being there before I knew you, and you knew me all the way. And thank you for getting me this far. In Jesus' name.
Father, I want to thank you for this holy day. I thank you for blessing each and every one of us. Thank you for guiding us in all of our steps that we take, and for us meeting people that you need us to be in their lives. Thank you for blessing us, Father. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to pray and to have a conversation with you. Lord, teach us to pray in different ways, Lord, both corporately and individually, publicly and privately. Lord, help us to just learn to have that daily conversational walk with you, to where we can just talk to you as we go about our daily work and our lives. And Lord, that we're not just always doing the talking, but Lord, help us learn to listen. Lord, that as we pray and seek your face, that we will learn to hear your voice as the other part of that conversation. In Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you that you are a personal God, that you want a personal relationship with us. Thank you, God, that you are available 24/7. Lord, you hear our prayers and you answer our prayers in the way that's best for us. And God, we thank you that you love us so much that you're willing to say no. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for your healing hands. I thank you, Lord, for the church and the love and the prayers that they have given us throughout this time, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Help me to be a light for someone that they might guide, lead them to the path that they need to be to search and to seek out your face, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name.
Precious Father, precious Lord, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who shed that precious blood, Father. And that blood lets us come boldly before your throne, Father. And Father, right now, we're right before your throne, Father. You're not only hearing my voice, but you hear every thought and everything that's in each person's mind and heart right now, Father, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your beauty, Father, for that love that you have for each and every one of us, Father. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in time of need, Father, Lord. We can come to you in time of stress. We can come to you in all times, Father, and you are always there hearing us. Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to thank Yahweh, which is the Hebrew name for our Lord, and the Lord of the Jews and the Gentiles. I especially like to thank him for my daughter, my family, my friends. I pray that he will send the Holy Spirit to renew the spirit of love and God in our representatives in government, so we have a government that gets back more back to the way this country was founded, based upon on Christ. I thank you for being here and being with me and blessing me. Thank you, Yeshua, in Jesus' name.
Father God, I pray for your body, Lord, that you will stir them up, that you will fan the flames of prayer again and make it a passionate plea through all of us, Lord. Return us to where we were when we first knew you, where we couldn't wait to be in your presence. We couldn't wait to talk to you, where we just couldn't wait anymore. We didn't care if we woke up at 3:00 in the morning to be with you. Lord, fan that flame. Make it a heart passion, a heart pound. Just fan it, Lord. Fan it. Fan it. Fan it. Place us on fire. Remind us. Bring us where we need to be. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just want to thank you for this church and for time to pray. I thank you for the desires that you put in our heart to pray for others, Lord, and I just ask for faithfulness. I ask not only for myself, that you would help me be faithful for the things that and the people that I want to pray for, especially in regarding to salvation, but also that you would give us all that passion and help us to be disciplined and faithful in that, Lord. Help us to have your faithfulness.
Thank you, Jesus, for my gorgeous wife.
Thank you, Jesus, that my brother is still alive. He has a brain and a heart condition, and he got that from a car wreck. And I want to thank you for letting me be here, Lord.
set our hearts on fire to praise and worship you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. Pour your spirit down on us. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you for your love, your goodness, and your kindness. And I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you that we are yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you're doing here in us, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for everything. And today I want to ask you, Lord, as your word says, if two or more are gathered together and they ask for anything, anything in my name, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. So, Lord, today I pray over this congregation. I pray, God, for the spirit of your Holy Spirit's fire to burn in each and every heart here, Lord. And I pray for each and every person, God. Remember, you are a spirit and you are in the flesh. Don't put the flesh first. Put your spirit first. And I believe today, God, that as they leave this church, as we all leave this church, Lord, we're going to be in a newness of the spirit and in prayer. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I'd like to give you a special request for my dear friend Lester, that you help her through this trying time and give her comfort and peace.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that your will has always been from the very beginning to be in fellowship with your people. I thank you, Lord, that you desire to commune with us and for us to have a spirit of desire to commune with you. Lord, it is in that communion that we are able to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might forget about ourselves and learn to submit to your will, that you might use us to do your will in this world. Lord, this isn't about us gaining power, that we might be able to impose our will on this world, but rather that we might learn to die to self, that you might impose your will upon this world.
Thank you, Jesus, for this congregation. I ask you that you will bless them. I ask you, Lord, that you give us passion for your word, passion for your work, passion for everything that has to do with you. And Lord, bless them and keep us and give us wisdom to do everything that is right in your sight, and that will be a witness to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Daddy God, I just ask you to reveal to us more and more in your word and be mindful of what we've learned today, God. Just continue to nudge us by your Holy Spirit to be in prayer all the time, Lord. And I thank you for showing us things that the world cannot see. Thank you, Father.
Lord said, seek the Lord in the day that he may be found. And this is the day. As we seek the Lord, obey the scripture. Be not only hearers of the word, but doers also.
Father God, I just praise you and thank you for wanting to have fellowship with someone like me. Father God, I just lift up your church, Father God. Ask you to open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of every one of us, Lord, to the needs of our brothers and sisters, Lord. Help us to act upon those needs and not just ignore them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, as your spirit entered Ezekiel and he was able to carry out your will because your spirit entered him, we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your spirit enter us and that your will be revealed, and that through your spirit we can carry out what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for 11 years ago putting it in my heart and mind to seek you out and come to this church where I've met wonderful people who continue to be the display of your splendor. I want to pray for all the soldiers around the world and all the missionaries around the world. Thank you for the safety of my patients and the practice. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life. Thank you.
Father God, I'd like to thank you for your great love. You love us unconditionally, and it's because of that love we can change, and we can turn from our evilness and our wickedness, and we can just look to you. And I thank you that for this church and all the wonderful people, and that we are building your kingdom here, right here, and lives will be changed. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for loving a sinner like me, for giving me the opportunity and pointing me in the direction of the Church of Whistling Pines, where I've been accepted and I've been taught to be a better person. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I ask of you to impute in us the greatest gift in life, the gift of love, that if we can love one another the way you love us, then life would be so much easier. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Father, I thank you for your never-ending love and mercy, and I ask your blessing upon our congregation, and may we continue to grow. Lord, bless each and every one as we gather here. You know our needs, you know our passion, you know our problems, and only you can take care of that. May our faith grow day by day. And Father, I thank you. I cannot thank you and give you enough praise. Amen.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your presence here today in the worship and the fellowship and the message that was given. I ask you, Lord, to bless this church, this body, believers, with your presence continually. And Lord, I just thank you that no matter how small or how big our prayers are, you're there to hear and to listen and to meet every need. I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for these teachings today. And let us each take your words home with us. And as we learn to spend time with you, touch our hearts so that we can learn the desire, the discipline, and the delight we can have when we spend time with you.
Father God, I just ask, Lord, that you would allow your light to so shine through me, Lord, that that this is the time of a harvest, a great harvest, Lord, and I pray that not even one would be lost, that Lord God, that we would have a heart so for you, Lord, every single day, and not that we would not take one step without you being in it, and that you would allow yourselves to so flow through us that it would be so evident to every person that we come in contact with. Lord God, be our mouth and allow our words to be that of which that you would have us to say, Lord, and lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go on a daily basis. I love you and praise your holy name, in Jesus' name.
Father God, as we listen to the prayers that have been spoken out loud, and as you have heard them and the prayers of those that didn't speak out loud, but their heart was truly praying, we're reminded that you do not despise the day of small beginnings. You've worked in us before. You've worked in your people down through the generations. You're going to work in this congregation. You drew two men together and a vision was birthed. Many times we see churches split. This one, they came together. That may seem unique to us, but it should be the norm. So we're going to pray today, Lord, corporately and in our hearts, that you are going to do a new thing here, a blessed thing, individually,
and collectively as a congregation. We're going to eagerly look forward to it. We're going to keep beseeching you for it, Lord. And whenever we're in a way, we're going to understand that you dwell in that high and holy hill with him also, his of a humble and contrite heart, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. We want to be in that group, Lord. And you'll not deny these prayers, Lord. They're going to be heard. We already are thanking you for them to be heard, Lord, and what you're going to do next. We look forward to that, Lord. And we thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for everyone here today. We pray that your love, Lord, will be in the hearts of every soul, every person here, and that love will keep us, will keep the church together and act as in one accord, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for this church body that we have. Lord, that I just want to thank you for the prayers that have been prayed. So many wonderful ones that have been done today. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll just keep touching our bodies, our souls, and our hearts for you. And that we will never burn out. That we will always stay in love with you.
Thank you, Father God, so much for my sobriety, first and foremost. And I just want to thank you for the Ruth House and to continue to seek your will, Father God, and what I can do for you and not for myself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for the friendliness of this church and their ability to welcome people in. And I thank you that they welcome me in and help me to feel at home. Just help us all to reach out to people we don't know and make that first step when it's hard for them. Help me too, Lord.
Lord, I want to say this. We all have to get the spiritual life. When Adam and Eve ate off the tree, it killed all our spiritual. We're born in the flesh, and everybody, each and every one of us in here, have to get the spiritual life of God, and that's the Bible. Live like the Bible. Obey the Bible. We're born of flesh, and everybody have to go before God in spiritual life to make it to the everlasting life. I pray that you reach each and everybody's hearts and guide them and let them repent and go after your spirit with 100%. Lord, we want everybody to understand that we have to have a spiritual life. Look around you, the world, everything that's going on. God is working, and he's trying to let us know we're being disobedient, and he wants all us to be obedient. God wants us to love each and every one of us. We come to church, we pray, God, but each and everybody around the whole nation, the world, is our brothers and sisters. He wants us to realize that we all are brothers and sisters, to love each other like we're brothers and sisters, and to help each other out. And that's the spiritual life, everlasting life. And the only way we can do it, we have to do it. If you don't do it, you're working against God, and that's just the truth. You have to be obedient and get the spiritual life, because we lost it when Adam and Eve ate off the tree. And when she's singing these songs up here, it's all about thanking God for what he's done for us, our families, our friends, you know. And it's all right to stand up and sing and praise him, and that's what you're doing when we're standing. It was great to see everybody standing up this morning and praising God as a family, and that's what we need. We're a unit here. We're a family, and thank God for Sean with this prayer line, and hopefully it realizes and reaches everybody's heart that we come to church to praise God, and we can get up and stand up and praise him the 2 hours that we're here, glorify him. We pray, we ask for him, we ask him for prayer, we ask him for this and that. While we're in here, let's praise him and thank God. This is a lovely church.
Father, I'd just like to thank you for welcoming back in. Ever since I gave myself back to you, it's a learning process. I'm so thankful for my new life and the blessings that I receive over and over. This church is wonderful. It shows you it can be simple. It doesn't have to be difficult. All we have to do is praise you, worship you, live your words, know them, want to keep learning more and more. Each day I want to learn more, and I thank you, Lord.
The Lord says, ask me and I will answer. Ask me and I will answer. Ask me and I will answer.
Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. This morning before the service, I asked you to let everybody feel your presence. And then the worship was right on to draw everybody into your presence. And I just thank you so much for your faithfulness.
Dear God, I just thank you that you're passionate about us, that you continue to reveal yourself to us in ways that sometimes we don't understand. But I just thank you, God, that you are who you are. You are a father, a friend, a brother. You are the comforter. You're the peacemaker. You're the healer. You are the person that we never knew, sometimes we always wanted. But just thank you, God, that you are. And you always will be the person that's always there. And I just thank you for that.
Lord Jesus Christ, I just praise you, and we come together as one, and I just look around and I hear different voices and see different faces and just see the different ethnic groups and of different bringing ups, and I just pray that, and I just thank you that we all come together and we can all just praise you as one. It says, you say that every tongue will confess you are God, and I praise you for that. And we just confess right now that you are God, and you have all of our life, every aspect. And Lord, I just pray that in our prayer life that we would have a spiritual aspect, that we'd speak in our heavenly language and in our different ways that God has given us to speak. And I pray that you'd open those up more and more so we can have more and more understanding of you and your love. And I just pray for everyone here that they would get the strength to keep going in you, and you are our strength. And just pray that any attack from the enemy would just be gone, and that nothing will touch us, Lord, because you are putting up a shield for us, because those old sinful walls are broken down and closing out from God, and the new ones are built up where God blocks out the evil one and all the attacks. And Lord, I thank you for your strength and for building us up and a great wall for you, Lord. And I pray that we'd spread that wall and be missionaries, Lord. We're all missionaries. And I thank you for that, not just the one to go out of country, Lord. Help us to be able to do missions in our own backyard, Lord. Praise you. And help us go out of these four walls, Lord, and just worship you and tell of you, and just show everyone our joy for you. Amen.
Father, I thank you for this morning and for the message of correction. And Father, I repent, and we repent as a church, for not putting you first, for not putting ourselves on our knees and seeking you first. I repent of that, Father. Father, I was reminded as Sean was speaking, Lord, that we pray out of relationship, and then as our relationship gets stronger, it gets stronger because we pray. How do we hear your voice? We have to spend time with you. We have to dwell with you. So, Father, we repent, because that's where change starts, is repentance. And we ask now that you anoint us and that you dwell with us and that we never forget this, and it becomes the bulwarks upon which this church will be protected, that we'll move forward on and be strengthened by. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for bringing us into this house. Father, as we complete this circle, Father, you are the center. We thank you, Father, for accepting us from where we've been and where we are today, Father. This is your house where we get fed, Father. The battlefield is outside these walls,
prepare us, Father, as we leave today and as we encounter those outside from here, and to be testaments of your love and your Holy Spirit.
God, I lift up my grandmother today. I pray that you just heal her body completely of cancer, that every single physical and spiritual condition and problem would just be made new, and she would be completely healthy. And I thank you for this church, Lord, and I pray that everyone here would be excited to invite people here and to come here every single Sunday and to their life groups, and that they would just be thankful of the church family that we have here. I know I am, and I thank you that everyone here has helped me through all of my struggles and mentored me and encouraged me. And I pray for our youth group, SALT, that it would just grow and thrive, and I thank you for all the wonderful teens there. And I just pray that they would hear from you each week, and I pray that today we would go home with that seed planted in our life, and that prayer would just grow and thrive.
Lord Jesus, I encourage us all, if you can put your arm up to heaven, like you're reaching out to heaven to touch him, Lord Jesus. And we say together, out loud or in our hearts, Lord Jesus, that in Jesus' name, by any name that we call upon, in Jesus' name, I can't even form it into words, Lord Jesus, but we know when we call on you that you are there. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, as we all go out this week, that we bind and cancel any assignment over our lives from the evil one, Lord Jesus, that we would have your power, your love, your healing touch, Lord Jesus, for others. Just be with us and walk with us this week, Lord God, and know that because we have declared right now in Jesus' name that we cannot be touched by the enemy, Lord God. In Jesus' name.
Father God, I thank you for giving me the boldness to step out and the confirmation that I've just heard. Father God, we're supposed to pray for others, as was brought up in the sermon today. And I know that I am supposed to pray right now where two or more are gathered for healing upon our dear friend Randy. Father God, just take away this affliction and just heal his body. Remove anything that is not of you, Father God. I know I'm stepping out on a limb here, but Father God, I pray for healing, complete healing upon him. You know his situation. You know the hurts and the pains, and I just pray that you comfort him and remove that from him. And Father God, I pray for the precious and private moments that you've allowed me to take part in, where I've been allowed to share you with others, and where others have been able to share you with me and the people that you've put in my path, and how you have blessed my family way beyond what we could ever be or ever have without you. I thank you for this church and the soul ties and the bonds that you've blessed us with. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord, your word says that the prayers of the saints are like sweet-smelling incense to you. And God, we lift all these prayers up to you. God, I ask that you would bless every member of this congregation, Lord. God, that we would go out in your power. Lord, that we would experience what your early church did in the book of Acts. Lord, we love you, God, and pray that you would bless this congregation, Lord, that we would be about your business. Lord, bless every family, bless every marriage, Lord. God, I pray that you would provide for us in every way needed, Lord. But most of all, God, that you would provide for us in our relationship with you, Lord, and to put prayer first. In Jesus' name, amen.